You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast, and thank you so much for checking out the shows. I'm absolutely thrilled you're here. I appreciate it a bunch, and I know that it's been a great feeling to see how many of you are checking out the podcast and being a part of this, and we're hearing a lot of great things from you guys out there when you're emailing and stuff. So thank you so much for all the positive feedback, and thank you so much for subscribing and sharing the portal with other people as well. The audience is certainly growing extraordinarily. Just looking for that word. So thank you so much for that. And ladies and gentlemen, of course, we do love to receive accounts and encounters from our listeners. So if you have a story of your very own that you'd like to share or have me share on the show, I'd appreciate it. I'd love to hear about it, and I'd love to share your story with our listeners as well. And you can do that by emailing Paranormal Portal Radio, again, paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. Check us out on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-T-R-T-L. So it's portal. There's no portal. They didn't give me enough room for that last day, so I had to make it work. So tonight I got a great show for you lined up. This is kind of a cool phenomena, and there are some places that just seem extraordinarily tuned for paranormal events. There are some places that they just seem to be the perfect storm for paranormal activity or for wayward spirits or spirits that are confused and stuck. And one of those places is hospitals or nursing homes and those kind of situations. There's a lot of stories that come out of those locations. And it's no wonder why, if you think about it. The confusion, in the case of an old person's home, like a nursing home or something, these people are on the last leg of the journey, and some of them don't have all of their faculties anymore. In fact, most of them don't. And that's partially why they may be in that location to begin with. Either their needs are just too strict that loved ones can't handle taking care of that along with the rest of their lives, or they're in such a state that they really don't understand what's going on. And so that can lead to people being kind of confused, and it certainly would make being a lingering spirit more understandable, because I don't think that a whole lot changes when, our bodies quit working. I think that whatever's left is still, we're still those same people. I hope, though, that things like, this is me kind of spiderwebbing off, but I hope in cases like people that suffer from dementia or from Alzheimer's or some such disease, I hope that fog lifts as soon as they are transitioned and have Well, maybe it does when they transition, but maybe it doesn't if they're still earthbound, like they're still in that confused state. So maybe that's kind of the inside scoop there, and may help us understand why some choose to linger, or maybe they don't know they're lingering. They just don't know what is going on. So anyway, I've got a collection of stories here that are coming from healthcare workers in these locations. And again, this is a topic that I really love talking about because it really does seem to come up quite a bit in my research. And so I'm thrilled to be able to share them with you here. So the first one is, I got a good one. This weekend, my girlfriend invited one of her former coworkers over for lunch, and I'll call my girlfriend's former coworker Evie. As I posted before, my girlfriend is a nurse, and of course, most of her friends are nurses, and the subject over lunch turned to ghost stories. Evie works as a nurse in a psychiatric facility, and whether this incident took place there or not, I don't know, but it occurred at one time when Evie was a nurse tasked with watching the patients on a certain floor or section of a floor. And it's important to note that at this facility, the patients apparently each had a phone in their room. The patients were also allowed to smoke, and I'm guessing with plenty of restrictions, but we were busy eating and talking, and the story got interrupted several times, so it's not like I was taking notes or asking for clarification or details. There was an old lady on the floor who smoked, and she would smoke in her own room, in her room, either with or without permission, I'm not sure, but as Evie tells it, during another shift, this old lady had accidentally caught herself on fire while smoking in her room and had died of her injuries. Of course, all the usual investigations and disciplinary actions occurred, so I won't go into detail about any of that. Evie's long career and credentials make me believe her story. Subsequently, Evie told us that the lady's room and the entire area of the ward always gave her the feeling of being unsafe. Even the lady's room was empty. Even when the lady's room was empty, I'm sorry. Evie claimed she could occasionally see a shadow moving around in the area. Of course, every time she went in to investigate, there was nobody there. Sorry, I got to scroll here. Evie claimed that one day she entered the room where the lady had died and saw the phone receiver floating above the rest of the phone. She motioned the tech, as she called him, to come over and put the phone back on the hook. Evie was too frightened to do it for herself. Evie was so shook up that she took the matter to her bosses, who didn't necessarily believe her story, but agreed that if she felt the environment was unsafe, they would have the room blessed. Her status at the facility was sufficient, that they humored her request as an HR matter without regard to any religious overtones. And after the blessing, Evie said the mood in the room was totally different from then on. There were no further incidents. Wow, that's pretty intense. Nothing like a floating phone to get your blood pumping. But there you have it. Anyway, I think that's a good story. What do you think, Don?
You know, I think that's a great one. It's interesting to walk into a room and then all of a sudden it's just, you know, the phone's floating there. And, you know, and what was really nice, though, is without regard of religious status or anything. So, you know, and them not even worrying about anybody's religion or anything, they just went in and did it and right. Made her comfortable. And that's kind of awesome that they went ahead and did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, that is a pretty cool story. But I'm glad they took care of it for her and that made it better after made the blessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think somebody's just stuck and maybe those blessings really opened the light or something. I don't know how that works, but it's really good that something worked anyway. But the next one I got here is been a nurse over 10 years, 7 years as an STNA, and I think that's a surgical technical nursing assistant, but I don't know for sure. When they throw around the medical acronyms, it's like, huh? I don't know.
I get kind of lost.
Yeah, I know. And I've had tons of experiences, but my most profound was a couple of years ago. My favorite resident, I work in a nursing home, and it's my passion, passed away. We became very close during her stay with my facility and even exchanged birthday cards and gifts. And yeah, not supposed to do that, but I love this lady and her daughter. And well, The day she passed was an extremely emotional one for me, as I was the one that had to pronounce her and whatnot. And well, she passed at 5:57 p.m. and I have a thing that the window needs to be opened right away to allow the spirit to leave. And sadly, the window did not get opened right away. Anyway, I finish up my shift and leave at about 11:20 p.m. And I lived about 25 minutes from work, and it's an expressway. About halfway home, coming up to a split in the E-way, could go east or west on the next connection expressway, my brakes go all the way to the floor. And I'm coming around the bend and going about 50 and let off the gas from about 65, and I have no brakes. I'm freaking out because my exit is the next exit, and there is a stoplight at the top of the exit ramp that is main road and is always busy. Well, miracles happen, and as I let off the gas again on the ramp, I'm going uphill, so I am slowing down, and I realize I will not be slow enough to check for traffic and turn left. I have to turn, can't even go straight across. So, crazily, I tried the brakes, and oh my God, they worked. I stopped and was able to safely turn left, and I have one more stop and right before my street, and I'm able to stop and turn right on the next street and also safely turn left onto my street and even pull into my driveway. I get out and run in to get my husband and tell him about what happened, and he comes out. He checks my brakes, and they go all the way to the floor.
Wow.
There are no brakes again. He pops the hood. There's not even any brake fluid. Looks underneath, no puddle of fluid, which proved it leaked out before pulling into my driveway. And my driver's side brake line was rusted and broken in half. I'm in shock. I made it home. Well, next day my mechanic comes and tells me there is no way I stopped and how did I get home. And I tell him how they started working again at the exit ramp, and he says there's no way. Anyway, I post on Facebook about it, and Beryl, that's my resident that passed away, her daughter, Christine, messaged me and asked if I was okay. And so she said the weirdest thing was before I came to work the day before, Meryl told her she had to see me that day because she needed to make sure I made it home. Chris chopped it up as confusion from being at the end, because why would Beryl want to see me at work to make sure I would make it home? Well, we decided she wanted to see me one last time, and she made sure that I made it home, and I still thank Beryl all the time for me being here today. I love her and miss her and think of her often. I believe the window didn't get opened right away so her spirit could stay with me and keep me safe that night. And one more crazy part was, after the brakes went out, I cracked open my driver's side window a couple of inches so I could listen to the car, something I've always done when I think that there's a problem with my car. And I believe once she made sure my brakes would work enough to get me home, her spirit went on its way. My most memorable spiritual moment of my nursing career, which is over 17 years now. And I do have many other incidents, but this is the most important. Maybe soon I'll share the others. This is my first time ever sharing.
Wow.
Wow, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So there's no way it should have been able to stop. It didn't have any fluid.
Right. Yeah.
That's very powerful.
And the brake line was rusted and broke. And that's, every time you push the brake down, it's going to spit brake fluid out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of crazy, you know, but, if let's go back to where she said that, usually she likes to, oh gracious. Mm. Welcome to the portal. Hey, it's working again. Let's go back to where it said, she said she usually likes to have the window open so the soul can escape or, mm-hmm. you know, return, whatever that is. What if she would have, you know, opened the window herself while she was cleaning and spoke to the spirit and said, I'm sorry it wasn't open before, but please take the chance now to, you know, do whatever. You know, do you think that might have worked or?
I don't know. I mean, it was a good thing the spirit was still lingering with her.
Yeah, definitely that.
Because if she'd taken off at that point, there would have been no stopping.
That's true. That's true.
It might be someone else going home that night.
Nah, no doubt.
Wow. But very, very freaky. Now, have you ever had a car lose its brakes, Don?
No, actually, I haven't. Let me knock on wood real quick.
Let me tell you. I've had it happen to me twice.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's about the most terrifying feeling in the world to push on your brakes and to have them just go right to the floor.
Yeah.
With no effect.
I think the scariest thing I've ever had happen in a car was I literally got stuck on railroad tracks at like midnight.
Oh God.
And just this, I was on my way down I-5 to Portland, and I got stuck in, I took a wrong turn in like Longview. And I ended up literally on the railroad tracks. It jerked me around, and I was on the tracks.
Oh no!
That was probably the scariest thing that had, you know, car thing that's ever happened to me. But yeah, that's pretty scary because 20 minutes later, train came by.
How'd you get off of there,
buddy? Well, luckily
as long
enough,
as we brought it up, we got to hear how this works.
Well, yeah. Well, luckily enough, there was two tracks, and I was on the side track. I was stuck on the side track, not the main track.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, my car's going to get killed. Oh. And then it goes by on the other side. I was like, oh, thank God.
So you had to get it towed off? Or?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So there's no getting it off.
Well, the girlfriend I was seeing at the time was with me, and we had her two kids in the back. And, it, you know, that made it even worse because the first thing was, you know, shut the car off, get out of the car, you know?
Yeah.
But, so she got in the driver's seat and I said, okay, just slowly, you know, give it gas. Don't just hit it. Just don't nail it. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, what'd she do? She got in and nailed it and blew both front tires off. I was like, oh God,
never mind. We're not going anywhere.
Get it.
We'll be here for a while. Oh man, that's tough. But yeah, no brakes is terrifying. It really is. Yeah, I was going down an incline and I hadn't driven my car all day. And I had just gotten up the next morning at like 5 to go to work. Mm-hmm. And I get in my car, start it up just like I do every other day. And I had a 99 Ford Taurus. It was a good car. I liked the car. Mm-hmm. But I got in, started up, and I live on a ramp right down to the main street. And it's in the morning, so there's lots of traffic going on the T. It's a T.
Oh,
like,
right.
There's no – you go down, and it's a T. You're going one way or the other, left or right, but there's no straight either.
Right.
So I recognize what she's talking about when she says that. And and I'm going down, and I'm nearing that intersection. And I push the brakes, and it goes right to the floor, and I'm like – so I was just like – oh, God, you got to help me here. Yeah, and just then
– Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah. Well, Jesus didn't take the wheel, but apparently he directed traffic.
Oh, that's good enough.
Because all of a sudden, as I got to the intersection, there was a break in the cars, and I was able to whip through and go to the left like I needed to, and then was able to roll and coast into a parking lot.
Oh, wow.
Down the way. But I was doing about, you know, 25, 30
right
into that intersection. And, you know, I wouldn't have been if I had had brakes, but
right,
there was nothing to work with.
Wow.
So it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. But anyway, I made it. And thank you, Jesus, for taking care of the traffic.
There you go. Stop, wait, stop, hold right up, slow down, caution.
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
Yeah, but those are scary, you know, ideas.
Oh,
you know?
They're horrible.
And that's why I like a handbrake. You know, you got the handbrake next to your leg instead of a pedal brake on the left side.
Oh, the safety brake, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, if you have the handbrake, you can at least manipulate it, you know, some, you know, to slow you down and things like that.
Sure, I suppose. So. I've never had one that worked with a damn, though.
Oh, wow, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, all of mine have been about as useful as a, you know.
A stick in the wind?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Fred Flintstone brakes.
Holding the Dixie cup out to catch the air to slow me down or something, you know. So here's another story for you. I've been around a travel nurse for about 20 years, and most facilities have some disturbing occurrences, and currently I'm in a hospice facility, and occasionally I get the feeling that I'm not alone. And although I've never knowingly seen an apparition, however, I do have an experience. My patient was a young woman dying of cancer and getting very close, and her husband had a habit of leaving his shoes outside the door, and noticing them there, I started to talk with him, and the door was slowly opening a little. As I went in, the husband was at bedside, and seeing me, he said, I think she's gone.
Ooh.
And I concluded that she had indeed passed. And the husband immediately left, and I called the funeral home for transport. And meanwhile, I had passed the room twice, and the door was standing open, of which I closed it on both occasions. And this room doesn't have that tendency normally. Later, I asked the CNA why she had left the door open as we had visitors and there for other patients, and she said that she, too, had closed it and thought I had left the door open.
Hmm.
I had assumed the husband had been going, opening the door, and then I went in to speak with him, but now realizing he was about 15 feet away by the bed, and this has not reoccurred. It's so strange. I do believe that woman's spirit wanted the door open. After the body was gone, it didn't seem to matter.
Right.
What do you think? I don't know. That's pretty bizarre.
You know, referring back to that other one, the previous one, you know, with the window open, you know, maybe she wanted it open so, you know, her spirit would, you know, be able to go, you know, kind of a, you know, parallel there. So,
yeah, exactly. Very wild. Huh. I'm just looking through, trying to find the good ones, Don, the good ones.
The good ones.
Okay.
Our listeners need only the best.
Only the best. We only bring you the best. Serve fresh every day, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we roll. I'm going to just pull over to a different one here. It says, but I've had creepy experience in Minnesota. My mom and I were visiting, and we were driving around back roads in a rented car. And I neglected to bring a compass, never again. And we'd gotten ourselves turned around, and we were going past an open field. And my mom says something like, "I see this tall thing out there." And for some reason, that really freaked her out, or freaked me out, rather. And the moon looked huge and creepy, and the shadows were strange, but it was just very odd. I never found out what that tall thing was either, but it seemed like a shadow, and it scared me beyond all reason. In the daylight, Minnesota was beautiful, and we were up near Ely, and this is indeed somewhat nurse's aides related in a way, because both my mother and I have been in that profession. And it says, "Hey there, my friend who recently moved into my house also said she saw one dark, tall, skinny shadow, and I wonder if your mother and she saw the same thing."
Hmm.
Ooh, spooky. I don't know. Wow, that's like really, really small font. Oh, dear God. This is like, it's like one of those pocket Bibles. All right, so here's a couple of stories. It says, a close friend's old house was haunted, and we used to see orbs, shadow, clouds appearing and disappearing. And a few years later, her family had fallen into financial crisis that forced them to sell the house and moved into an apartment. Well, the spirits followed them. My friend's sister saw a lady with short hair sitting inside the bedroom by the window with her back facing the door, then suddenly disappeared as the friend's sister walked in. The second story is, I was meditating on the couch one night as I was focusing on my breathing, and I heard a female teenager's voice saying, "Hey," into my right ear. I immediately opened my eyes, but nobody was there. I blamed it on the tiredness and continued to meditate, so closed my eyes again and heard another "Hey" into my left ear right after. I didn't try to make any more communications and headed to bed. Since then, I've been convinced that there is continuity of life after death.
Hmm.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
I wonder if this person was hearing that during her meditation or their meditation. I don't remember if it was
meditating. And
yeah,
I wonder first if it was in the left ear and then it was in the right ear.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if that's because, you know, when you're meditating, you're opening yourself up to the vibrations and, you know, the mm-hmm. universe, you know, maybe that just helped, connect her, the person, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
Another one is, that's a good point. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to discard that. I'm just looking through this list to make sure that I find the good ones as quickly as I can just to keep the show rolling. I got to also look at the time. Yeah, we got time. Here's a quick short one. It says, a resident who was on hospice rang one night, and I answered her call light, and she was sitting on the edge of the bed, and when I walked in, she looked at me and point blank says, "I'm supposed to tell you thank you from this group of people here." Me. I said, "Oh, that's nice. Is it for me in particular or the CNA? It was me and one other working that night. "Yes, you. They said, tell the deaf one that we say thank you." Me, flustered. "Well, okay, you're welcome."
Okay.
Tell the deaf one. I guess she must be deaf.
Well, I wonder if they're referring to the fact that she can't hear the spirits, but the little girl can.
No, I think it's this person that has hearing issues. So,
huh.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. But very cool. I guess they appreciate the help.
Well, that's good.
She must have been a good nurse. So, next one. When my late uncle was dying of colon cancer, he was in inpatient hospice facility during his final months. And no other caregivers close by who could do it 24/7 care. And anyway, we were kind of used to him having what seemed like one foot here and one foot in another world. He talked to people and pointed at things we couldn't see, and it wasn't scary at all, more like, we know the people who've gone on before are coming back to show him the way. The only exception to that was a couple of times my cousin and I had to yell at my late grandpa, his dad, who was a mean SOB to most people on a good day, and tell him to get the hell out of the room and not come back. We yelled at Gramps a couple of times and told him to leave us alone, and it seemed to make my uncle fall asleep better. Wow. So the great grand or the uncle was I guess that was their father's brother.
Right.
And or mother's brother, I guess, but their parent was a real crabby bastard. It sounds like real problem.
I think that might be me soon. the crabby one.
You're going to be the crotchety old man. The old ghost.
Hey, you get off my lawn.
Hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
God, dang it.
Well, you never know. Could be. Okay, a resident who was on hospice one night rang, and I answered her call light. Wait, again? Yeah, same. Same one. Never mind. It was a repeat. On the same one. Here's another one. Years ago, when I was working nights at a LTC facility, there was a resident who was a former nurse, and she used to make rounds with me, and she was still hale and hearty at 100. Mm. Wow, that's cool.
That's awesome.
She had so many stories, but one night, as she followed me on my rounds, she began to talk about her children, and all of whom had predeceased her, and mentioned that she had seen them recently. Knowing her to be of sound mind, I got a UA just in case a UTI was making her loopy, and she didn't have one, but she continued to talk about the conversations she was having with her oldest daughter, and finally one night, she called out to me from her room, "Look, here she comes, she's coming, for me." Her voice was full of joy, and then silence. I ran to her room. And there she was, dead. She had the most amazing smile on her face, though, and I could feel a presence in the room as if someone had really been there. Maybe they were, who knows? All I know is she was happy as she passed away, and I'll never forget it. Wow, that's pretty solid.
That's cool.
That is cool. It's nice to think that, you know, and I wish, I don't think it happens all the time because, you know, we've certainly heard of people not having those,
right.
You know, hey, look, you know, grandpa's here, kind of thing. It usually, you know, like when my dad passed, I don't think he saw or heard anything, as I recall, you know, as I've heard. I really do believe he's made his presence known since then.
Right.
But, you know, I would have loved to have known that his family greeted him and brought him home. You
right,
know,
right.
That to me would have been cool, but I don't think that happened. I wish it happened to everybody. That'd make that transition so much more smoothly.
Yeah, no doubt.
But the next one. Okay. Let's see. My mother passed away nearly 2 years ago after a long struggle with Alzheimer's, and her dying was a huge relief to me, as I'm sure any child of an Alzheimer's patient can understand, even if not agree. Once she was gone, I realized that I could stop thinking of her as she was in the year or two before her death, but remember her as she was before the disease stole all of her memories. At the funeral, Mom didn't look like herself in the casket, and she didn't look like the woman she had been before Alzheimer's. She didn't look like she did just prior to her death. She didn't look like anyone I knew, and I was having a hard time with that. Kind of wondered in the back of my mind if they had the right body or something. The minister of her longtime church was new and didn't know my mom, had never met me, and that wasn't helpful. But just before the service was to start, the funeral director ushered my immediate family into the executive meeting room. a room where my mother had frequently attended meetings in her very various roles as church elder and the church secretary, president of the ladies' circle, etc. For just a moment, as we walked into the room, I saw Mother seated at the head of the table preparing to call a meeting to order. I quickly looked around to see if anyone else had seen what I had seen, and clearly none of my family had, but the funeral director caught my eye and nodded. Mm. So apparently the funeral director did.
Crazy.
Maybe that's why he called him in there, just to see if anyone else was catching this.
Am I crazy or not? Hey, everybody, come on in here for a sec, would you?
So come on in. I want to discuss the bill. Yeah, he probably was happy to see someone saw it.
Yeah, huh. No doubt.
That's pretty cool. I guess she was just happy in that role in her life and just was going to keep doing that. But I think this is a good time for a break. So
sure.
Let's take a break quickly, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back for more of these tales from the medical community. Back, ladies and gentlemen, and hope you're enjoying the show so far. We've got a bunch more to go through before the clock runs out, but we are going through ghostly stories in the medical community, meaning like nursing homes and hospice units and things like that, and you know, anywhere, I guess. But these are reports from nurses and doctors and things, and I find these very, very powerful. So, all right. Let's see. Let me get to the first. I currently work at a small hospital that is undergoing renovation, and I've experienced quite a few things since coming to work here several years ago. I once was walking off the floor, and I saw the reflection of a lady in it, in the window on the door to the manager's office. She had short, dark hair and was wearing a white top and dark pants. I stopped and turned because in order for me to see her reflection, I would have had to pass right by her. And there was no one else in the hall, and yet she was reflected in the glass on the door. It has blinds, and they were closed at the time. And most of us, at one time or another, have been sitting on the computer, chatting, and felt someone walk behind us and peer over our shoulder. And this is particularly creepy feeling. And the pantry, where the patient's snacks, drinks, and ice machine are located, is another area of activity, and it is locked by cipher lock. Wow, that's pretty hardcore.
Wow.
And is, I don't even know what a cipher lock is, but it sounds intense. And is located right behind our station. We hear every time someone goes in and out, and I've walked in there many times and found all the cabinets and drawers wide open. I close them and return a few minutes later to the same thing, and I know that there has been no one else in there. It is very strange, and we're all kind of used to it. Isn't that something you can get used to that? Like, yeah, that's normal.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. It's just George.
I guess that's a good place to be if you got to work in a haunted environment. But you get to that point, it's like, yeah, it happens every time, every day.
This room's so haunted, we've got a cipher lock on it.
I don't even know what that means. I'm really curious, though. What is a cipher lock?
Well, you know what? I've got an idea, but
let me look. Okay.
Cipher lock.
I mean, it sounds like really high tech, whatever it is. But...
it's probably something simple like you know, put in your favorite five-letter word or something. Okay. No, you've seen cipher locks before. Like when you like when you've got a door and it's got like the number pad on it, you got to punch the number in and then turn. That's a cipher lock.
Oh, I didn't know that that was called. Okay. Cipher lock, ladies and gentlemen. We've all learned something new. Maybe some of you guys knew that, but maybe all of you knew it, and I'm just stupid. But either way, a little education going on here in the portal, so that's a good thing. So... let's see. Okay, I gotta go to another one here just to see what we can find. Okay, I have little time to tell about a few incidences I've experienced involving my grandmother. I never knew any of my grandparents except my maternal grandmother, who died when I was 12 years old. She lived alone in an apartment complex for old folks in a town about 45 minutes drive away. And she would come up many Saturday mornings and stay through Sunday evening. And she would always get home about 7 p.m. when Wonderful World of Disney came on TV. Oh, I remember that show.
Yep.
Our family ritual back then was to watch Disney and eat Pillsbury turnovers. Anyway, back then, anything further than shouting distance was long distance, and you had to get you had got charged up the wazoo to make calls. So, to save money, my grandma would call my house and let the phone ring once and then hang up. That was her signal to us that she made it home. When she died, things didn't get back to normal for a few weeks, as you can imagine. And when we finally settled back into our routine a month or so later, we'd be getting ready for Disney and the phone would ring once. Mm-hmm. We all just kind of looked at the phone and then went back to watching TV. After about the third week in a row that this happened, I happened to be next to the phone and answered. And when it rang at 7 Sunday night and there was no one on the line, no dial tone, nothing. It then dawned on me, and I said it out loud to my family. I guess Mima is calling to let us know she made it home okay. After that, it never happened again. That's really cool. The second event was years later, when my youngest brother had his second son. My parents and I had gone to visit him at his house in Virginia, and I was sitting on the sofa taking some pictures with my point-and-shoot film camera before the days of 12-megapixel iPhone 7 cameras. And my dad was sitting with their little Maltese dog in his lap, and my 18-month-old nephew was standing in front of him. The dog was gently licking my nephew's nose in a manner that seemed strange for a dog. And I immediately raised my camera and took a picture, and then I took a second picture without moving the camera. However, between the two pictures, I had this thought that came into my head. The thought was me saying, "I wonder if Mima can see her great-grandkids." It was the weirdest thought to have at that moment. About 2 months later, when I finally used the roll and had the film developed, I flipped through the pictures, and when I got to the first picture, which is perfectly clear, the same thought came back into my head. Then, as I went to the second picture, there was this white mist emanating from the area where the dog was kissing my nephew. The mist took up most of the frame and looked like it had substance and was densest at that spot. Now, I should mention that I had taken several advanced college photography classes by then and developed my own film and made my own prints, so I'm very familiar with film anomalies, like light leaks and what have you. And I checked the negative, and there were no leaks or chemical anomalies. Whatever that mist was, the image of it went through the lens from the lens to the film and was within the frame. I think that what had happened was my grandmother put the question in my head and then answered it on the second photo. The third event happened many years later, shares some of the similarity to the picture event, and I'd just gotten married and we moved across country, staying with my parents until we could find a place to live. The dog from the previous story was now old and suffering from lymphoma and had been receiving chemo, and she had bladder control issues and had peed on the living room carpet in quite a few places. To help earn our keep, my wife and I were in the process of cleaning the stains with a little Bissell green machine as my dad came home and my mom took the dog to the vet because she had stopped eating again. We continued cleaning, and after a while, I had this vision that was brief but was as vivid as reality, and I looked up into my parents' open bedroom doorway and saw my grandmother from the side with the dog at her feet. She bent forward at the waist with outstretched arms, and the dog jumped up to them. As this was happening, I hear this dialogue in my head where I asked her to take care of the dog, to which she replied, "Don't worry, she's here with me." And that quickly it was over, and I'm sitting there perplexed thinking, what the hell was that? About 15 minutes later, my parents got home, and my mom runs to my wife and hugs her, sobbing, "The vet has put the dog down because there's no hope for her." That kind of freaked me out, honestly, and I knew that the vision marked the exact moment that the dog passed, and my grandmother sent a message that took me 2 weeks to relay to my mom once she was at the point where I felt I could tell her. I once watched an interview with that medium, John Edward, and I've always been skeptical of him and people like him. But during this interview, he was asked how he gets his information. The way he describes his fleeting visions he gets was exactly how I saw my grandmother. Wow. That's pretty powerful. That there's some pretty powerful stuff. Right?
Well, yeah. You know, I, my personal opinion of John Edwards, but that's actually, they're actually really great stories. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, you know, when you close with John Edwards, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I'm not really big on that either. I'm not really big on the 20 questions
yeah.
to get you to respond to something. You know, do you take the letter K? It's like, maybe. I don't know. It's just a psychological banter for the most part.
Gene mean anybody?
Right. Anybody. Yeah. Very strange. Oh. All right. So let's find another one here. I was returning to work as the night nurse after my first vacation in over a year as a night nurse. I think wow. I said nursed.
Okay.
I was returning to work as a night nurse after my first vacation in over a year. I was employed by a home for the developmentally disabled. Finished my work of the evening, I stepped outside of the nurse's station to catch a smoke under the breezeway that runs alongside of the building. Passing on the same sidewalk, headed towards the official smoking area, was Miss Sandra, an older, in her 60s but sweet nurse's aide who was a longtime employee of the facility. She asked me for a cigarette, not unusual since she always seemed to be out. And I gave her one, and we smoked under the breezeway talking about work and what this patient was doing, normal work stuff. I flicked my smoke out and went back inside after saying my goodbyes and proceeded with the rest of my shift. Leaving out in the morning, I passed another nurse's aide, Miss Mary, another longtime employee, tell Miss Sandra that she owes me a carton by this point, I said, with a smile as a way of greeting Miss Mary. The look I got could have frosted ice. That's not funny, she replied. What? I answered, both to her look and to her statement.
Right.
Miss Mary then informed me that while I was out on vacation, Miss Sandra had passed away from a stroke at her home. Wow. Her funeral had been held the day before I returned to work.
Oh, geez.
No one had told me. I felt the blood drain from my body like someone pulling a plug from my feet. I was not mistaken. She was standing there, literally feet from me the night before, and just as real as a brick wall. And I actually became a bit nauseous and walked back inside and straight to my director's office. No notice, no warning. I quit right then and there and left, and I haven't been back since. I can't tell you what or who I saw and spoke to that night outside the nurse's station. But I knew that I wasn't going to be around just in case Miss Sandra wanted to bum another smoke off me.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Yikes. That's pretty wild. But
would if you had that kind of experience, would you quit or would you?
No, I'd be going out the next night.
And see, it is starting another smoke.
I mean, what an opportunity.
Miss Sandra.
Yeah, I just wonder what the other lady said, like the ghost lady. Was she communicating? Was she just sitting there nodding and smiling? Or
well, she said that they had a conversation about, you know, things, yeah, like normal.
Just about stuff, yeah. But wild, wow. Huh?
That's crazy.
That is really wild. I like that story a lot. Really powerful stuff, ladies and gentlemen. So if anybody comes up and bums a cigarette off of you, they might not be alive.
Well, you know, there have been stories about, you know, ghosts at bus stops and things.
So, yes. You know, like, well, that's one of the reasons that I say, and I've said many times, I wonder how many of us have had conversations with ghosts and never knew it.
Not even realize, yeah.
I bet you most everybody has probably at some point or another. I just really believe that it's maybe a lot more common. Because if this woman hadn't heard from another person that this lady had passed away, she would have never known.
Right.
You know, she would have never known. I mean, she, based upon her experience.
Right.
Like, there was no differentiating that apparition with a person being physically there. That's such a powerful manifestation. Wow. I like that story, though.
Yeah.
I really did. So, let's see. I worked for a while in a residential hospice facility. Okay, wait, did I already read that? Okay, no, I didn't. I worked for a while in a residential hospice facility, often before one of our residents would die. Many of the staff nurses would see a little child, sometimes boy, sometimes girl, playing in the hallway. The timing was never consistent. Sometimes it would be minutes before a death, sometimes it would be hours or days. But always a death would follow. Seeing the child was never really scary, except that you knew it was something freaky. The whole place has a peaceful feel, not scary, usually. Often patients would speak about angels at their side, and once we had a nun as a patient, and when she died, we heard singing, checked all the rooms for a choir on TV, and found nothing to explain the singing. Very cool. I saw an incredible psychic for many years until he crossed over last year. First and only one I ever saw. It was a birthday gift to me back in the late 90s, and he was incredible. Anyway, I was talking to him about my guilt, having to put my father's wife in a long-term nursing facility. She was a major sunsetter wanderer, and it had reached the point where she had to be locked in, and how I hated that word, for her own good. My psychic was asking questions about her earlier life and had to admit that I really didn't know much about her. I was an adult when my father married her, and she was always very remote. I don't remember her ever sharing any aspect of her life with any of us kids. And my father, may he rest in peace, was a terribly difficult man to live with. I told my psychic that I did not believe she had a pleasant or peaceful life. My father told me several times that she had abandoned her first husband and two sons for another man. He never said this without adding that he would not have married her had he known she abandoned her children. He felt very strongly about that, but if he told me so willingly, I'm sure he threw it up to her as well, which makes me sad. Especially since I found out when cleaning out their house that she was married and presumably pregnant at age 14 or 15. And I strongly suspect abuse, but of course, she never mentioned it. She had no contact at all, ever, with her older son, and her younger committed suicide about the time she developed Alzheimer's disease. Aw, that's so much tragedy. And my sister and I were shocked beyond belief to find out that she had a daughter. She loved baby girls and was more or less indifferent to my sister and my sons, both of whom were born shortly after she married my father. Her daughter died as an infant, and apparently, I do not recall how I know. I think her niece may have told me the one time she called after hearing my stepmother might have an inheritance. But her second husband was horribly abusive towards her. I don't know if he was involved in the death of the baby girl or if it was Sid's or what. He apparently had a lot of clout and money for his area, and I believe he owned a car dealership or two. So, such a tragic life, and as I said, my father would never be physically abusive, but he could be very difficult to get along with, and she was an incredibly good wife to him. My psychic listened silently, more like a psychologist, and suddenly interrupted me, saying, "There are so many people waiting for her on the other side." He sounded really excited about it and went on to say, "They're going to celebrate her when she comes over. They're going to have a party, and they're going to be singing and sing and sing. And they will sing for her until she knows nothing but pure happiness." He had been right about so many things that really made me feel better, although I have to admit that I wondered if he was just trying to comfort me. Anyway, I would try to go see her at lunchtime several times a week, and I drove my father to see her each weekend, but it was a rather long drive to pick him up and take him there and drive him home, whereas I could dash over to the nursing home at lunch and spend a half an hour just making sure she knew I was there for her. I actually forgot about what my psychic said. Then several months later, I went to see her at lunch, and she was sleeping, and I whispered her name a couple of times to see if she was dozing or really sleeping, and then sat next to her for a while, and after a bit, she opened her eyes, and she seemed so far away, as though she were somewhere else. I whispered hello and asked if she was still tired and wanted to go back to sleep, and she still seemed to be in a faraway place, staring at the ceiling, and after a couple of minutes, she murmured, "There was a man singing all night long." I made a non-committal reply, and she said, "He just sang all night. I didn't sleep once all night long." Well, that upset me, and I asked her, "He kept you awake? Didn't anyone stop him so you could sleep?" She didn't even hear me, still staring at the ceiling, still seeming almost unaware of my presence. She whispered, "It was the most beautiful thing I ever heard in my whole life." I had completely forgotten about what my psychic said, and I didn't remember until I got back to work, and then I just got the chills. She lived another 4 years, steadily getting worse, and when she died, all I could imagine was the choir of voices waiting for her. She had heard a bit of the angels' choir while she was still semi-lucid, and it comforted me to no end to think that this woman with her unbearable tragic life was being serenaded from a world that was really so very cruel to her. Wow. Yikes. That's pretty wild. I think that's pretty powerful stuff there, Mr. Don. What do you think?
I think I agree.
Okay. I got a couple more here. The year 2006, I'd been looking for something in my desk and was just shuffling things around when I found an envelope of numerous family photos. We had had an 80th birthday affair for my dad and had asked attendant family members and friends to bring old photos of my dad, however far back they could provide. My sisters had made a collection from the late 1900s through the 2000s, and we had made multiples of many of the photos, so I had my envelope of duplicates. And I was enjoying reviewing the photos, and I came across one professional photograph from my folks' 1948 wedding. Such a nice picture. Dang, my mom was pretty in her wedding gown, but my dad, he was one good-looking dude. Like a young Elvis Presley, honest. Now, my mom had passed away in 1997, but my dad was still with us, but starting to have serious health concerns and slow decline. After looking at that picture, I remembered their anniversary was November 20th. Any guesses what the date was? Yep, November 20th. I'm getting goosebumps again right now. My mom was present. My dad passed away a year later, almost made it to the next November. Not quite an occurrence in my nursing career, but it reaffirmed my personal belief that there is so much intangible but unexplainable power out there. Yeah, I mean, not all of these, I guess, are as having to do with facilities, but they are having to do with people that work in facilities. Now, I will say that I think that people that work in a spiritually charged environment are probably pretty prone to having events themselves.
I would think so.
Yeah. So I think that there is something to that. So, this one. I was hit head on by a drunk driver in a pickup when I was 19 back in 1976. Mm. I suffered internal injuries, severe fractures, or several fractures, and a closed head injury, and I was unconscious for about 3 weeks. During the time I was unconscious, I had what I called dreams. Some were probably just that, but as I became conscious, some of the dreams were my family and loved ones talking to me, which became intertwined with these other dreams. And one of my earliest dreams that I remember involved my younger brother and sister and I going through an old Victorian-style house. As we entered each room, there was a big black shadow standing there in the corner, and I walked up to touch it, and it disappeared. And finally, as we approached the last room, knowing the shadow would be there, I ran into the room and dove at it. Still, it disappeared. Having been so close to death and experiencing an NDE, I've always interpreted the shadows to symbolize death. Regarding the NDE, I was in a place like the Tibetan Book of the Dead described as a gray fog. I was a part of the place without delineation, and all who were there were dressed in maroon gowns and were so glad to see me, and I felt so loved and welcome. My grandfather, who passed away in 1964, was there. I remember his smile and wire-rimmed glasses, and we communicated without words, just knew what each other was thinking. I knew that I had to leave this place, as did everyone there, but we were happy for each other. It was a great dream. Wow, that's pretty intense. I don't know. Again, it doesn't necessarily have to do with the facility, but it does have to do with what this person experienced while, I assume, in a coma of some sort, or whether it was medically induced or otherwise, I don't know. Yeah. But pretty powerful stuff.
You know, gatherings like that, you hear about gatherings like that, and it just kind of, you know, gives you hope that you will be reunited.
Yeah, exactly.
Point, you know?
Yeah, I hope that that's true.
I hope my cat Ezzy's there.
Your cat Ezzy?
Yeah. She's been gone for a few years, but she was my big fat cat. Had her for like 14 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty powerful. I'm sure she's right there. She's probably still hanging around you right now, to be honest with you. My mom had a Maltese.
Okay.
And his name was Tucker, and he's this little cute white dog. And he was a lovely dog, but he got some weird sickness. And my mom and him were just inseparable.
Right.
This was just her baby. And so he got sick, and there was no turning back. And he did pass. But my mom to this day says that she'll be laying in bed and feel him jump up on the bed and walk around like he always did and do the circle, circle, circle thing until he finally got to his right place and then plop down. And then the weight disappears. Like, he just comes in to plop on the bed another time and just heads out.
Right.
Now, I have seen Xena, my German Shepherd, in dreams.
Wow.
And it was, really, really wild. In fact, I woke myself up. Wow. It's like in the dream, I knew she was gone.
Right.
But I was so happy to see her and, loving her and playing with her and stuff. And then suddenly she looked at me and there was like a sadness in her eyes. But she walked away a few feet and then looked back and then walked away a few more feet and looked back. And
I was like, are you ready?
I was like, where are you going? And she's like, I'm like, come here, Xena, come here. But she kept walking away and walking away. And finally, I was just like, I've really got to yell at her to make her come back.
Right.
And so I was like, Xena! And I woke myself up. I was like, oh, man. But I was trying to yell at her to make her come back. But
right.
It just wouldn't work. I mean, it wasn't an angry yell. Like, yeah. Xena! Like that.
Right.
Oh, it was just so sad to see her walk away. But I knew she couldn't stay.
Right. You know? Right.
I don't know.
That's cool, though.
It is a cool thing. I think it's really cool. But I don't know. It's just the way of the world, ladies and gentlemen. We come and we go, and some of us linger. And that's why there's a paranormal portal.
That's true.
I don't know. I think that these kind of stories are plenty cool and interesting. And, a lot of them aren't really dark.
Right.
These are not a collection of dark, horrible stories. They're a collection of most of them are actually beautiful. Mm-hmm. Most of these stories are wonderful. Now, I have heard some really dark stories from these care facilities and stuff, and those are tragic. I've heard of, there was one guy who apparently was a real bastard in life, and nobody liked this guy. His whole family, nobody ever showed up to see him. He was just acidic.
Right.
And he was terminal. He was terminally ill, hooked up to machines and stuff. And he was, conscious part of the time and then unconscious. But he would apparently wake up at night screaming and telling the nurses to get that creatures out of his room. Ugh. Get him out of his room. Ugh. And then apparently the day came that the guy finally died. And as he was dying, he was screaming, no, don't let them take me. Don't let them take me.
Wow.
And that was his last words. So, wow. Oh, God. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know, yeah.
That's like, that could be forever,
Right.
That could, just for, let's say, a lifetime of being a jerk.
Right.
That could be your forever.
There's a similar story surrounding Anton LaVey.
Oh, right.
About, when he was dying, he started saying things like, I made a mistake. I was wrong. Everything I did was wrong. It's now, like I said, it's just a story I've come across a couple times.
Sure.
And saying, I don't want to, maybe when he was having, I don't know, maybe a DMT dump, when your body shuts down.
This isn't
down
a show about DMT dumps.
I understand.
This is a paranormal show.
But I mean, it's one of the last things that happens to you, it's like one of the last pleasurable things in life, Mm-hmm. But, maybe that's what he was experiencing.
Yeah, it could be. So, it could be, or he was just experiencing the culmination of his work.
Exactly. True enough. Yeah. Being dragged down to hell.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're going to represent the devil in the world, you got to be willing to punch that ticket at the end. Anyway, I guess that's going to wrap it up for tonight. But anything in closing, Don?
No, just the typical thank you for listening, taking your time out, whether it be driving down the road or – you know, bored on a Saturday night, whatever that is, you're listening to us, we certainly appreciate it.
We do. And thank you all for being here and for spreading the word to other people who you know that like the paranormal. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. Be sure to follow us on YouTube, youtube.com/paranormalportal. And you can see videos of our live shows, 7 p.m. Pacific time, every night of the week. And it's a great, great load of fun. We have a great time and a great community that meets with us. And we have a lot of wonderful conversation. And follow us on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. So I hope you guys will continue to be involved in the Portal community. And we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day. And remember to laugh as much as you can. We'll be back for another of these podcasts before you know it. Have a great night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.